The nation's lawyers are making free speech and a free press the theme for this year's Law Day events on Wednesday. One of those will be in Normal. Attorney Don Craven, who's been representing media organizations across Illinois for decades, will be the keynote speaker for the McLean County Bar Association at its Law Day luncheon. Craven tells GLT's Eric Stock the legal community must stand with the media amid President Trump's frequent hostility toward the media and his attempts to silence it when he gets unflattering news coverage.
The remedy is not to shut down the news media. The remedy is not to undertake an effort to eliminate what has traditionally been a free press. The founding fathers established in the First Amendment that a free press is a necessary part of our democracy. We, the press, serve many purposes in that process. And shutting down a free press is simply untenable to traditional democratic, small d, democratic principles.
The definition of the press has, of course, changed over the years. Social media has become an entirely new entity that I'm not sure our forefathers were thinking about when the First Amendment was first put together. How has social media, and specifically the weaponizing of it that we've seen, changed the landscape of the free speech issue?
In such as yours or newspapers, there was for many years, a regular news cycle. Everybody knew that a newspaper was going to come out in the morning, and broadcast would supplement that coverage throughout the day. The stories that came up during the day would be covered on broadcast. But there was a routine. There was a cycle to news coverage. Social media has just blown the hell out of that cycle. The 24-hour news cycle has become about the 24-second news cycle. And frankly, I think the president is a prime example, and the president and his team are prime examples of using social media to distract and detract from traditional news coverage. I mean, they will tweet something just as when they anticipate that something bad is going to break in broadcast or print, send out a tweet, you know, look at the shiny balloon over here, and hope to disrupt that news cycle. And they're good at it.
How does that change the landscape then, with elected officials having their own media essentially to sort of combat what they feel those in the quote traditional press are reporting?
Simply because of the ethical limitations on you and on your print and broadcast brethren to be fair, complete, and objective, that takes time. That takes an investment of time, knowledge, resources, sources, there are times when you just can't make soup any faster than you can make soup. And to try to join the crowd, join the fray, would require us to leave some of those ethical obligations behind, and I don't think we're willing to do that.
Now, the Russians used social media and fake news to influence the 2016 presidential election. Propaganda was promoted by...
Without collusion, by the way.
According to the Mueller report, propaganda was promoted by Donald Trump supporters, sometimes even Trump himself. Should that kind of free speech be protected, and how do you differentiate? Where do you draw the line?
That's the danger of free speech. There are times when we wish people wouldn't say things, couldn't say things, but it's not in the vernacular to say they shouldn't say them or they can't say them. Are there lines that cannot be crossed? Obviously. conspiring against the government, conspiring out loud to commit a crime, can be restrained. But it's simply expressing an opinion, and especially in the political context, expressing a preference for a candidate or a point of view can't be constrained.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Don Craven, a Springfield attorney who will be giving the keynote address at the McLean County Bar Association Law Day Luncheon on Tuesday. We've seen the free speech issue manifest itself in recent years in the South, where Confederate monuments that have stood for decades are coming down as this fight rages on. Supporters of these statues honoring their ancestors say this is an expression of their free speech. If the government could take down these statues, the American Bar Association asks on its website, if the government can do these things, must it also present a contrary or opposing view? How do you respond?
The government put up the statue, the government can take down the statue. I'm not sure that the First Amendment mandates that the government express a view or express contrary, express... state an opinion and state a contrary opinion. The state of South Carolina, I believe one of the examples was South Carolina. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, they chose to put up a statue, and in 2018, they chose to take it down.
One of President Trump's largest achievements that his supporters will say is beginning two conservative justices on the Supreme Court. Can we glean from Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh's legal records regarding the First Amendment to get some perspective on where they stand on free speech issues?
I have not studied the First Amendment opinions of either of those gentlemen, but by reputation, I think the pendulum will swing, but I'm not sure that the pendulum will swing as far as some fear it might. There are some opinions out there that are at this point so embedded in the jurisprudence that it would be difficult to undo them. Similar to the argument about Roe versus Wade, is Roe versus Wade now an untouchable opinion because of the passage of time and the way that it has become part of the jurisprudence, or will the Supreme Court overturn that decision? I think as time goes on, it becomes more and more difficult to undo what has been done.
The court has also largely upheld campaign donations as protected speech, but there are limits to how campaigns are funded and how much donors can give. Do you foresee those rulings changing or being overturned?
No, I don't. I think whether you view those as good or bad, I think that campaign that type of political speech is going to be protected to a great extent. Will there be changes in the formulas and in those limitations on individual or corporate contributions? Perhaps, but I don't think they're going away.
Well, it does appear that much of what we believe to be free speech is now entrenched as judicial precedent. There is the notion of the Constitution as a living document that's pliable to fit a particular moment in time. What could that mean for the First Amendment in the future? It sounds like you believe that very little can or will change.
I don't think much will change. It can also be said that I'm the world's worst prognosticator, and that there may be substantial changes on the horizon, but I don't see those coming again, simply because one of the president's threats was that he's going to redo or rewrite libel law. To do that would require, and to do what he wants to accomplish, would require taking several Supreme Court decisions, such as the New York Times decision, and cutting them out of the jurisprudence and I just don't see that happening.
And we're visiting with Don Craven, a Springfield attorney who's giving the keynote address at the McLean County Bar Association Law Day Luncheon on Tuesday. I know that you've been actively involved in legal issues involving the media. What is your message to the other lawyers who you'll be speaking with on Tuesday?
And I think the basic message is that a free press and free speech, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how caustic, no matter how vitriolic, are important protections in a democratic society. I had occasion to go back through some history of governments that have become rather undemocratic over the years: China, Germany, Italy, and step number one in essentially overtaking those governments was shutting off a free press. And I am not in a position to say that we're in that in a parallel track, but certainly some of the language, some of the tactics being used today to take issue with media, with the press, sound eerily familiar earlier attacks in other places.
That's media attorney Don Craven with GLT's Eric Stock. Craven's address to the McLean County Bar Association is tomorrow at 11:45 at the Prairie Room of Illinois State University's Bone Student Center.